Let us pray. Lord, in these moments, help your servants to remember your love and your mercy, that we may rejoice as your people. Help us in all things to live as your grateful and faithful disciples. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It is rude to point. Many people seem to have been taught at some point in their lives that it is rude to point your index finger to another person. I don't remember receiving that lesson, but even now I can't do it. It makes me uncomfortable. Pointing to someone can be associated with blaming them or anger or scolding. And sometimes pointing at someone can call them out and cause them embarrassment. Hence the rude rule. It is rude to point. In some cases, however, it seems to be what is needed. Research from 2016 has shown that young children can follow the pointing of a human finger, but they are unable to discern what to do with a symbol such as an arrow. So the youngest among us need an adult to point to a picture on a page or to a trusted guest. John, the forerunner of Jesus, spends a lot of time pointing, specifically pointing to Jesus. He is not being rude or talking to young children, and he may never have actually pointed a finger at him, but John does point the way. John the Baptist, as described in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is a man wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and honey. He shouts at those who hear him preach, saying, "You brood of vipers!" And I imagine at that moment he was probably pointing at them and sounded quite angry. In all three of the synoptic gospels, John preaches vigorously for repentance and preparation. And then he baptizes people in the Jordan River. The description is intense, with strong language and dunking people underwater. The scene may be a bit disturbing for those who prefer their spirituality on a quieter or gentler scale. The Gospel of John, as it often does, offers a different picture. According to this gospel, there is no mention of John's clothing or diet. There's only a passing reference to preaching and baptizing. Instead, according to the fourth gospel, John comes to point to the light that will be coming. His primary purpose doesn't seem to be to preach or to baptize or prepare. Right away in this gospel, the seventh verse, actually, we read, "John came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him." John came to be a witness, to point. According to the Gospel of John, I think it makes more sense to speak of John the witness rather than John the Baptist. And this John is not the same person who wrote the fourth gospel, and we'll want to keep John the witness and John the gospel or John the gospel writer separate in our minds, as they are distinct people. The theme of witness looms large in the Gospel of John. It starts with declaring that John came as a witness to testify to the light, and it continues as it describes John's conversation with the priests and the Levites as testimony. The words testimony and witness come from the same root word in Greek, and those two words are used 45 times in the Gospel of John. In other words, repetitively. Another time when this word is used just a little farther from our reading for today comes when it says when he is speaking, when John is speaking and he sees the Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. And John proclaims, "I myself have seen and testified that this is the chosen one." John is the first one in the gospel to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. He saw a remarkable event with his own eyes, and he understood what he was seeing. One author describes him as a very human witness to a cosmic event. It was a powerful experience, and one he was compelled to talk about. He couldn't let it go. He didn't want to let it go. He needed to talk about it. He needed to bear witness to what he saw and what he knew. A series of detective stories that my husband Brian and I enjoy are those by Tony Hillerman and his daughter Anne Hillerman. Tony Hillerman started the series, which focuses on cases taken up by the Navajo Nation Police, and it's set in the American Southwest. A couple of officers and detectives serve as the likable and honorable characters that form the thread through the series. When Hillerman died, his daughter picked up his work and is continuing the series. I recently listened to one of Anne Hillerman's books, which was particularly enjoyable because the producers of the audio book were very careful to have the correct pronunciation of the Navajo words. Having never heard the Navajo language, I enjoyed hearing the sound of those words. The story opens with Officer Bernadette Manuelito witnessing a car strike and kill a pedestrian. The circumstances were such that there was no doubt that the action was intentional murder. Her witnessing of the crime drove the plot of the novel. With restlessness and persistence, she worked to solve the mystery of the crime. Having seen what she saw and knowing what she knew, she could not and would not let it go. Both John the Witness and John the Gospel seem to have this same kind of persistence, though even more. They are compelled to talk about what they know is true and to point to what is to come. John the Witness sees the Spirit descend upon Jesus and knows that Jesus is the one to come, the one who is greater than he. And he identifies him as the chosen one. John the Witness, however, does not know how the story of Jesus will unfold. The gospel writer, on the other hand, does know how the story will unfold. The Gospel of John was written decades after the death of Jesus, so the author intentionally writes in a way that continues to point us to light and truth. In fact, the Gospel writer names his purpose at the end of the book, saying, "These are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." John the Witness points to Jesus, even though he does not know how the story will unfold. John the Gospel points to Jesus, knowing full well how the story unfolds. Both point to the way and the truth and the life concurrently, but differently. Today, I would like to draw your attention